All right. Hey, welcome back. This is the Infamous Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Tudor. Today, I'm joined by a special guest host.
Hello, it's Johnny Potterworth again.
Welcome back, Johnny. Welcome back. What's going on?
Not much.
So, you're going to notice, good listeners, Brian isn't here this week. The other Brian wasn't able to make it into record with us, so Johnny graciously stepped up to the plate. And we're going to have a special episode to talk about two of Johnny and my's favorite topics, Lego and Star Wars. Right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So tomorrow or tonight.
It's officially tomorrow, yeah. But it's tonight.
So we're recording this on September 3rd, but at midnight tonight, there's a huge Star Wars event. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's called Force Friday. Several stores are opening at midnight. They closed early and they're opening at midnight. They reset their shelves and put out new Star Wars product.
Very
action
cool.
Figures, clothing, pretty much anything and everything that you can stamp Star Wars on will be out.
Nice.
And at Toys R Us, I think every Toys R Us is opening. Walmarts and Targets, you have to check their webpage.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they aren't all participating. But
yeah, I looked our Target right down the street. It's not open at midnight.
Right.
It's like, duh! But yeah, so, you know, Amazon, the Disney store. Actually, the Disney store out in California, or LA in particular, is doing something really cool I read. They're giving away the D23 limited edition Star Wars poster to the first 1,000 people.
Yeah, I think the Chicago one is doing it tomorrow, too.
I think
they're giving the same poster out. And at one of them is doing some kind of opening of something that isn't going to be revealed until they open it, I guess.
Oh, cool.
Toys R Us did something today with Steve Sansweet, who's one of the Star Wars gods.
Cool.
So
very cool.
I think he did a book signing or something.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I know. I saw that. Toys R Us, I think, is going to have a Lego build and take.
It's a rumor because nobody's confirmed it. I mean, obviously, it'll be confirmed at midnight, but there's a rumor that there's, like, some kind of special brick that's going to be, like, that's going to have the date and the new Stormtrooper on it, like, painted on it.
Oh, cool.
And that they're giving a poster out that's been confirmed. They're giving out, like, a free Star Wars poster.
So, are you hitting Toys R Us tonight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think the other cool thing was the Star Wars app for the last, I guess, day or so has been doing some live streams with unboxing of different things, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think, like, what was it? Lego's been has actually shown officially all the vehicles now.
Yeah, and the prices.
Yeah, the prices and everything, which, you know, they had been ceasing and desisting everybody for the last month because the pictures had leaked out, but now they're out, and you can actually go online and find them. Pretty much everywhere.
And we were kind of geeking out about those just before we went on air. Which sets are you really excited for?
I do like Rey's speeder, and the First Order stuff looks good. Not really excited about Kylo Ren's ship.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, if you actually collect Legos or build Legos and you do Star Wars specifically, you get enough ships that it's like, how many more ships do you need? Most of the stuff like that is in the set is cool. I mean, if you don't have a Millennium Falcon, another opportunity to get a Millennium Falcon
and
with an old Han Solo.
Less expensive than the previous Millennium Falcon, too, at $149.
Yeah.
Because the other one was, I think, $199. Yeah, with the Kylo Ren command shuttle, like, I'm more like, I can has minifigures.
Yeah.
So I'll probably, you know, employ you to track those down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where if you're just a fan of minifigures. Obviously, if you're into Lego, you know where to go. There's eBay and BrickLink and sites like that that, you know, you could help yourself to finding it. And I mean, if you're willing to pay the price for it. Because some of the minifigures are going to only be in one set, so they're going to be a little bit more rare than others.
Yeah. I think these, right away, will have, like, a pretty big sticker price attached to them on eBay just because they're new and nobody knows if they like the movie or not yet.
Tonight they'll be hot just because of what they are.
Right.
You know, they are Lego sets. Obviously, everything's going to be hot, but there's people that specifically collect the Legos. So if Toys R Us has them out, they will be probably sold out tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
I would guess that that's going to happen.
I know I'm really excited for Chewie's Nerf Bowcaster.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. I haven't seen it yet. Which, so.
It looks pretty, pretty cool. I'm pulling a picture now so you can see it. But yeah, and then they have the Stormtrooper Assault Rifle.
Oh yeah, that's
cool. Or Assault Blaster. Unfortunately, you're guaranteed to miss everything you shoot at.
Well, yeah, so. Yeah.
But yeah.
It's probably created to miss aim right off the bat, so...
Yes, yes, yes. And then the BB-8 remote control.
This is the one that you can do from your smartphone.
I think so, yeah. It looks pretty awesome.
You get a remote with it, but I think there's right. one that's there's a one smartphone. That,
yeah, app. And you can like yeah. be like drive, and he yeah. like takes off. So, Micro Machines are coming back with Star Wars ships, which is pretty cool.
Not excited about that stuff, just because I mean, I remember Micro Machines from, you know, when I was really collecting
right.
toys, you know, like just collecting toys, and Micro Machines was just one of those kind of, you know, if it was something cool, yeah, but they disappear.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, especially if you move or, you know, you don't store them in a fashion, they will disappear.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few ships, like there's the gun transport ship from Clone Wars in okay. episode 3.
They're going classic,
which,
and,
you know, that's one of my favorite sure, yeah. ships. So yeah. I'll definitely get that one.
Yeah, the Republic gunship.
Yeah, and, that's what it was. Yeah. Republic gunship. I tell you what I'm most excited for is the Black Series.
Okay.
Which the Stormtrooper looks fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't seen the pictures of those yet. So
another chance to get another Chewbacca.
BB-8 with Rey.
Yeah. Nice. And then Kylo Ren looks really cool.
Yeah.
And then Finn.
Yeah, he's a character where I'm like, you know, he, you know, no pun intended, but he is the black sheep right now for yeah. me. I don't know.
Well, we don't know anything about
yeah.
him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, it's cool to see the Stormtroopers, Chewbacca,
mm-hmm.
who can't love Chewbacca. Hopefully they don't drop a planet on him.
Let's you hope know? Not. But there's no young Anakin.
Right, there's, Solo. There's nothing to... So.
But see, that none of that happened anyway.
Right,
so.
Yeah, that's a parallel universe is what I like to call it. Disney has another name for it, but it's I call it a parallel universe.
Disney calls it Disavow.
Yes.
But yeah, the Black Series, they look awesome. And I mean, you know me, I'm a huge fan of those.
Well, sure, yeah. And I mean, I own a couple of them myself, and they're quality figures and actually worth the price you pay for them. I mean, you know, 3 3/4 inch figure now I think is going for between $9 and $12. Yeah. And to me, that's really not worth it. I mean, I understand the economics of it, but $20 for a 6 inch figure that you can either display in the box or take out of the box and display is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Have you seen the Furbacca?
Scary looking.
It's Furby.
The Furbies are just like disturbing Chewbacca, looking, yeah. anyways. But it's if it roars Chewbacca roar, maybe it'd be cool. But
it works with an app, so who knows?
I don't think I'll be making that purchase.
But all right, so you know that's kind of a big deal happening here over the next couple days. I'm sure we'll get some more Star Wars news rolling out. Maybe find out a little bit more about Kylo Ren and
yeah, and hopefully, the story. You know, I don't want to know too much. You know, obviously, you know,
yeah.
Star Wars was the first movie I ever seen in a theater, you know, 3 years old. And it's one of those things where it's one of my passions. And I don't want to know too much just for the fact that I want to be surprised by some stuff. I like what they've shown, and they've done it in a smart manner. We still don't know what the deal is with the, I don't know if everybody's seen it, but on Instagram, the Star Wars Instagram had the 9-second preview. And Finn was holding a lightsaber.
Right.
So, you know, is he Mace Windu's kid? You know, just to be a smart ass, is he Mace Windu's kid? Or, you know, is he, you know, if you're reading the comic books, it's a possibility that everybody's questioning if he's Han Solo's son. Which I say nay to, but, you know.
And that ties kind of into what's going on with the Star Wars comic right,
right.
now.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I always thought Mace Windu was a virgin, and that's why he was so angry.
That
all the
might
time,
have been,
so.
Or it might have just been because he was Samuel L. Jackson, you know, with a different name.
Yeah, Nick Fury, he used the Force to get that eye back.
Exactly, exactly.
So, yeah, that we just went way over nerd board.
Well, you know, you could call him Mace Frozone.
But Yeah, so just with the toys that are coming out, they have a build-your-own lightsaber kit.
There's exclusives at Walgreens, which I haven't found yet, but there's exclusive Funko Pops. Those are classic Star Wars characters, but obviously they're going to be putting out new characters too. I mean, Brian just pulled the picture up, so I'll definitely be getting a BB-8. I'm not a big fan of bobbleheads, but the BB-8 looks pretty sweet.
He does. And it's one where it makes sense to have that base
on Star Wars. That one does make sense, yeah.
I'm thinking I'll probably get most of the Pops just because it's a sickness I have.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get a First Order Trooper and BB-8, definitely. The four that are at Walgreens are a glow-in-the-dark Yoda, an Imperial Guard, prototype Boba Fett, and I can't remember what the last one was.
Snowtrooper. Nice.
And they're all exclusive to Walgreens, so it's one of those things where I would say Walgreens will probably put them out tomorrow just because everybody else has, you know, been told they're not supposed to put anything out until September 4th.
Okay.
Yeah. I work for a retail chain, and we accidentally put stuff out early, and it came back off the next day, so.
Cool. So, you know, we're kind of on our own here.
Yeah.
Talk a little Star Wars. What Lego sets have you been building lately?
Haven't built anything lately. I picked up Scooby-Doo's Mystery Machine.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw the kid building it out there.
Yeah, your kid was building it out there. She beat me to it, so. Picked up one of the Stormtrooper sets to get the free poster.
Yeah.
What's cool is Lego, every month up until Force Awakens, is doing a free poster where you go in and buy any Star Wars product at their store and you get a free Star Wars poster. It's usually like toward the end of the month for a week. They've already done on May the 4th, they did the New Hope. And then on, in June, they did Empire. Return of the Jedi was August. And, or I might have that wrong. But, anyways, they're doing them in order of the way the movies were released. And it's the Lego take on the Drew Struzan posters.
Yeah, they're really cool. Yeah. I have A New Hope and Jedi. Empire.
Yeah.
I didn't get Jedi, which kind of bums me out, but...
I've talked to the people at our local store, and you could go in there and ask. They might still have Jedi.
Oh, cool.
And that they did say, you know, you can always ask. They're really... Of all places I've ever been, the customer service at a Lego store is probably one of the best, and they do say, like... You know, just ask. They might still have some extras on hand.
Good to know.
So, you know.
So, yeah, I actually just picked up the Rhino Sandman Supervillain team up, which I haven't built yet.
It's a nice set.
It's, you know, I got it because the Sandman figure looks cool.
Yeah.
I love, like, his paint job and everything.
Oh, yeah. The melding with the actual tan blocks is...
And then
cool.
The Spider-Man, it's the first time they've done the dual-molded plastic legs, so it's not just painted boots.
Right.
Although, they should have painted spider webs on there, which they didn't.
They'll get it right eventually.
And then the first time we get to see the Iron Spider, which, I don't know. I mean, he's like the Venom or Carnage, basically, just with golden...
Yeah, well, they just took, you know, they repurpose everything, so obviously it's the same body as a Spider-Man character, repainted to be like the Iron Spider. This is obviously from the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Yep.
So I don't, who's the Iron Spider on there? Is it
Amadeus Cho? Yeah, I would have liked Rhino, too, not to be like a mech suit, but to be like a big fig.
I've watched some of the episodes of the cartoon. Is he a mech suit in the cartoon?
No, he's a kid who got, like, turned into, like, there's no, like, face mask. He's all gray.
Oh, wow, okay.
And he's actually with the heroes right now.
Okay.
In S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy, if you haven't watched Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, which has gotten really, really good.
Yeah, I heard it's a really good cartoon. I've enjoyed what I've watched.
It started kind of shaky, like... They did this whole, like, Deadpool break down the fourth wall, like, every chance they got.
Oh, okay.
And they got away from that and, like, started just, like, focusing on storytelling.
Right.
And it's been cool. They had, like, Blade on. They had the Howling Commandos.
Wow, nice.
I watched the
Spider-Verse.
Yeah, they had the Spider-Verse, which was cool.
That was fun.
They had a Deadpool episode where Will Friedle was the voice of Deadpool.
Nice.
Where it's, like, if they ever do a movie and like Ryan Reynolds can't like do the voice,
yeah,
just hire Will Ferrell. Yeah, he was awesome. Like, it's on iTunes, go buy it. Yeah, and then so speaking of Marvel Animation, there's just a ton of Marvel news going on right now with Secret Wars coming to an end. All new, all different. It seems like every day there's a new announcement around that.
Which I did check on that. I do know what it is now. It's 8 months after whatever happens at the end of Secret Wars.
Yeah, and they added a ninth book to Secret Wars.
Yeah, so I guess there's more story to it than Jonathan Hickman originally planned on. So, you know, it's an okay series. I've been reading the main book. I haven't really caught up on the side books and that. There's a few I picked up just because I enjoyed the original miniseries of stuff like Future Imperfect, so...
Yeah, you know. So I've been getting Future Imperfect, Planet Hulk, Ant-Man, the Spider-Verse, Spider Island, and then
you're getting all the
Renew
Spider-
Your Vows.
Spider-Verse, I picked up the first few and I just flipped through them and I'm like, I didn't really like what I've seen.
I haven't liked the Spider-Verse one out of like all of them, but like, you know, being the completionist that I am.
Well, sure, yeah.
It's like I started it, I might as well finish it.
Yeah, the thing with Planet Hulk, and I haven't even looked inside Planet Hulk because I don't want to be ruined, but the covers are beautiful.
The covers are amazing because it's always like some appendage of the Hulk smashing something. It's really misnamed. Like, it's a Captain America story more than anything. It just takes place
in Devil Dinosaurs.
Yeah, he and Devil Dinosaur are like tag teams. It's awesome. It's my favorite Secret Wars. It's one that I would love to see continue. Like, go back to like the start of the Battle Realm and be like, you know, this is the beginning of Greenland and this is why these things are happening and why there's so many gamma irradiated folk and
it's
plants.
It's interesting that, you know, they're going to go to, I guess, a single universe or whatever they're planning in the 8 months later.
Right.
It's easier to say than all new different.
All
new, all different. It's 8 months later. Just, you know, 8 months later, is it a normal universe? Is it, you know, what's going on? I mean, obviously, like Fantastic Four, which you guys have discussed, is not a main... I don't think there's even been a Fantastic Four book solicited yet, but everybody's showing up in something else.
Right.
I mean, maybe Reed and Sue are getting that honeymoon they never got.
Who knows? Because, like, but Thing Johnny is going to be in...
Yeah, Thing's in Guardians of the Galaxy, and I just seen in the current previews that Johnny's going to show up in Peter Parker's book.
Okay.
Well, is it Amazing Spider-Man?
It's amazing. Like, there's... So there's, two main Spider-Man titles coming out, but, like, Amazing is the one where...
Parker Industries.
Peter, where he's the tech billionaire.
Yeah, I think Alex Ross is doing the covers for the first few of those.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the suit. It's, like, glowy.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how... It's
so
kind
it's
of, like...
kind of, like, Big Time. A cross between the Big Time and the regular Spider-Man suit.
So I'm not really sure how I feel about that. Like, any kind of suit when you see it, like... I have to wait until
I see it in the panel. It's kind of, you know, I'm a Spider-Man 2099 fan, and they're changing his suit, too, and I'm just like, it looks okay, but there's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, not just Secret Wars happened and then we're changing everything.
Right.
It's like, you know, obviously there's going to be some reason to it, and I'm not judging ahead of time. It's just, you got to get used to it, and it's understandable when there's changes to costumes and stuff like that.
I mean, they do it hopefully for a reason, not just for the sake of change.
It's one of those things where, and you know, obviously with New 52, it was just get the entire Justice League to have uniforms, and it's like they don't really need to have a singular uniform. No. I mean, the one thing I didn't have a problem with is them taking Superman's
trunks
off. That's not a big deal to me. I mean, you know.
They made it work.
Yeah, I think it worked. I think I would have done a little bit of red into the pants.
Yeah, like some piping or something.
Some kind of red piping. But, I mean, on a whole, that's just a little thing. But, I mean, if you mess with the S, then you have a problem.
Right.
It's the same with Batman. You don't mess with the bat symbol on there. It's got to be some kind of bat symbol on his chest. And that, I mean, it's cool.
Yeah.
In a way, but in a way, it's like, you know, everybody wants their classic costumes, and I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what is a Batman classic costume anymore, anyway? I mean, you have the 1966 one, you have the Frank Miller one, you have the animated series one. I mean, like, outside of that, they're slight variations of each other.
To me, the idea of the yellow behind the bat symbol always was a cool idea, because of them having it as that was where the villains
aimed their guns. They explained
and he
it,
had like, Kevlar all over his body, but I mean, you know, when they're aiming in one spot, they're not watching everything else that's happening around
them. They're just seeing that bat and the bright yellow, and they're not looking at the gaping hole that is his jawline.
Right, yeah. So. I mean, it's one of those things where even seeing that symbol, if you're a criminal, that's what you fear, is that yellow and black bat. And it's like, that taking that away kind of is one of those things where I wish they would just go back to it. You don't have to make the whole...
You don't have
to do everything with it, but a black bat on the chest is fine, too.
I like the black bat. Yeah. I especially like when it's the more angular bat necessarily like the... could be like a circle.
The wings got shaved off a little bit, like somebody took a sander to them and sanded it down. Yeah. So I think that, you know, and when they show the bat symbol as sitting a little bit out from the chest, like it's a weapon, like there might be something to do with that. I like that idea too.
You never know with
Batman. Yeah. So. Batman's probably got 1,000 weapons on his body. He's like a Klingon. could you empty out everything, Batman?
Take off your boots.
Yeah, exactly.
What's under your toenails?
Yeah, you end up with a garbage dump full of weapons because he's still pulling stuff out.
Take off the belt. Just strip.
Yeah, exactly. The cow in a pair of boxer shorts, and you know there's still a weapon somewhere.
So, or at least a way to communicate with somebody.
Exactly.
But so what are you reading these days? I know you were looking at my stash that I picked up this week. As I keep turning away from the microphone.
You're so professional on this
I'm
podcast.
I'm super professional, thank you.
Jeez.
Yes, well, you know, this is WINFAMOUS.
Right, yeah.
Anyway.
This isn't public radio. This is podcasting radio.
Podcasting. This is amateur podcasting at its finest until someone pays me to do it.
Does anybody get paid to do podcasts?
People get sponsors, man.
Wow. Well, yeah, sponsor. Yeah, I can see a sponsor.
So you were eyeballing, like, I picked up We Stand on Guard. I haven't read it yet.
I read that already.
I picked up Future Imperfect.
I did pick that up.
Which I've been enjoying. I grabbed Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, which
has
been
that.
Awesome.
Some things I wait for the trade. That's the trade for me.
So he's hiding out in one of the battle worlds because a character who remembers continuity.
Yeah, he was on one of the
arcs. Yeah. He is
Spoiler alert.
He's hiding out in, like, a New York City nightclub as a lounge singer.
Oh, wow.
Named Steve Rogers.
Nice.
Who sings Disney songs because in his battle realm, Disney never existed. It's hilarious.
Nice.
So, like, when we first meet him, he's singing A Whole New World.
Oh.
From,
this sounds
Aladdin.
More like it should be a cartoon than
a comic book. And then the Kitty Pryde is not his Kitty Pryde.
Okay, so it's not the one that, like, in the most recent stuff, he was romantically involved with Kitty Pryde, right?
But, like, she's, to him, you know, she looks like Kitty, she sounds like
Kitty.
Sure,
but it's a totally different character.
I picked up the new Danger Girl Renegade number one.
Did not pick that up. I remember Danger Girl, and, you know, and I picked up back in the 90s.
Yeah.
I picked that up. I mean, is J. Scott Campbell doing the art, or is he just doing the covers?
No, I think he's just doing the covers. It's, you know, it's Andy Hartnell, and the art is Stephen Molnar. Looks nice. It looks really, really
Does
nice.
Does it look close to the J. Scott Campbell
stuff?
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Yeah, it's close, yeah.
I was always fond of the Danger Girl books, so I saw number one, and I thought I'd pick it up.
Ever get the big...
I never did.
Oh, man, that thing was pretty.
And then I got Green Lantern number 44, which I haven't read the last 15 issues.
Yeah, Green Lantern's just a guilty pleasure that I buy to collect more than I do to read now.
And then the same thing with Green Arrow, which I bought...
Is Howl in the book, actually?
Well, I don't know. I didn't even pin through it. But I got this one specifically because it's a Neil Adams cover.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Are you going to take it to get signed?
I think I might.
Yeah.
I might go and get, like, a second one to get signed.
Yeah.
So I could frame it up or
something. Yeah, we're talking Cincinnati Comic Expos in a few weeks, and Neil Adams is going to be one of the guests.
Yeah. So we've mentioned before, we live in Cincinnati. The weekend of September 19th, we have an awesome comic book show that it's its sixth year?
I think think it's fifth or sixth year.
Yeah. Last year was the fifth. So okay, so yeah, it's the sixth year. Yeah. That has just basically doubled in size every year.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a really fun weekend. If you listen in the Cincinnati area, look for me and Johnny. We will be down there all day Saturday, running around.
I'll be down there all weekend. I'll be working at Queen City Comics booth on Sunday.
Yeah, and
so stop by and say hi.
I'm trying to get an Infamous podcast shirt put together beforehand. Be cool, yeah. I got a few stickers to hand out.
That way, which will be cool. They'll know who you are. So,
which Brian are you? I'm the white one. But yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff. TV starting back up. You and I always talk about TV. Did you watch the second episode of Fear the Walking Dead?
I did watch the second episode.
Did Randy from The Wire, the other black kid, get killed?
Which one was that?
He was the boyfriend of the crappy bratty girl.
You know, and if you haven't watched it, spoilers. Yeah, for sure.
Just hit the if you're listening on your iPhone or your Android device, just hit the little 10-second thing now.
Yeah, he is not dead yet.
Okay.
But he was bit.
Oh.
So he's on his way to being... Have you watched it yet?
No, you know,
Are you going to watch it?
No.
No,
okay. I was telling myself...
You're kind of right about the sister, which I can't remember her name. Nick is the brother, and she is the sister. She is obnoxious, but starting to realize that something's going on beyond her.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the first half of the show is them showing her boyfriend, and then after that, they leave him because he tells them to leave him.
Okay.
I guess he obviously, like Nick, had encountered somebody and knows what's going to happen to him.
Yeah.
And that. Disturbing in some parts. And like we said, spoilers, the principal of the school is a zombie in this episode. And
the one who was like listening like to the classes?
Yeah. Okay. Literally that comes back into play because Nick is coming down from his addiction and his mother goes to the school because she knows that they have drugs
in the
nurse's office. And she goes there to get some of them to help him. And the kid, Tobias, from the first episode, shows up.
Uh-huh.
And he just asks her, can I have my knife back? And she helps him. And they're in the school. And as if you watch the first episode, you know, the alarm goes off.
Nah.
And then she goes into the principal's office and the mics are on. And she hears something.
Yeah.
And then she looks down the hallway and he's going the opposite way and she calls out to him and he comes around the corner and
who does that in a zombie apocalypse?
Because it's the beginning
so I get it.
The cooler part
has
of the
episode.
Has
she not seen a horror movie?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing I always question about this universe and obviously the comic book too. Maybe zombie movies didn't exist in this universe.
There was no Wes Craven.
Yeah, no
RIP Wes Craven.
No you know, no Night of the Living Dead, nothing of that nature, you know, obviously no voodoo zombies or anything, because I'm like, in a real case, like, you know, in our world, a zombie apocalypse wouldn't last very long because we know how to take them out.
Right.
Put one in the head and, you know, make sure you put a second one in there to make sure they're dead.
See, I think what I would do is because, like, I don't like people, like, you know, I wouldn't like the zombies either.
Would you even notice that it was happening as the first
Probably
thing?
Probably not, but like I would like try and behead as many zombies as I could and leave their bitey little mouths like just kind of all like
You're gonna put a fence around a yard.
Yeah, but like just like leave them because like
why would people cut their arms off and cut their legs off and put the torso
head.
Around?
See,
your
but
yard.
If it's just a torso, people will be more careful.
Yeah,
but if it's just if it's like 300 heads, you know, people are going
like
to just
landmines.
Like... Yeah, exactly. So they'll just step through.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what would happen in a real case scenario of zombies is the military would weaponize the zombies. And you know, that's something you haven't seen yet. And, you know, I'm not a big writer or anything, but I always have ideas. And I'm like, wouldn't it be cool to see a book where it was like, you know, weaponized zombies?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, World War Z was weaponized zombies, but they were still fighting the military. And that.
Fighting Zach.
Not in the movie.
Zeke. They call him Zach or Zeke?
I think they call him Zeke.
Zeke's, yeah. That book was so good, and that movie was so disappointing.
I say read the book or listen to the CD.
Well, you gave me the audio
book. Yeah, yeah.
And I think I remember...
Mark Hamill is the most awesome voice actor.
Alan Alda.
Well, Alan Alda.
Like, he steals as the president. He steals the entire book. But when you gave it to me to listen to, it was when the Battlestar Galactica online game came out.
Yeah.
And I was writing for a website called Think Hero at the time, and I was supposed to reviewing it. And so I spent, like, an entire week playing it, like... Every hour I wasn't working.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was listening to World War Z while I was doing
While you were playing it.
And so it had...
Did it kind of mesh together?
Well, it had the BSG, like, game soundtrack, like, music behind it. So then I remember I got in my car and I plugged in my iPod. And I was like, where's the music?
Where's the music?
And it was like, it wasn't as good without it.
Nice.
So I actually took and, like, I got the loop of... the game music and I looped it throughout the audiobook.
Wow.
So
wow. Yeah. You'll have to burn a copy of that for me.
Definitely.
Yeah, but the movie was disappointing. You know, there were some cool parts to the movie.
Yeah.
The coolest like part that I kinda geeked out on my own was Peter Capaldi showed up as a World Health Organization doctor. Yes.
A doctor
which is
who?
A Doctor Who.
A Who Doctor.
A Who Doctor, right.
Who Doctor.
And that was probably a couple months before he was announced as Doctor Who.
Yeah, I think like 5, 4, 6. Yeah. Like somewhere like half a year.
But it's kind of cool that it's kind of alluded to that, even though they didn't know they were alluding to that.
They should have like sat him in front of a volcano to really just complete
the... Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you don't know what I mean, go watch some Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Specifically
all right. Vesuvius episode.
So, TV's upon us. All the fall shows are going to start
Doctor
coming
Who's
back.
Coming.
Season 9, Doctor Who.
Yep.
Is Clara back for the whole season?
They haven't confirmed for the whole season. So. They just confirmed the other day that River Song will be showing up in the Christmas special. They haven't said why or how. They don't really need to. I mean, River Song is a cool character and that. Clara's in there. I think there is another companion coming. That's going to be another male,
cool.
A male companion, because there's been a kid that's been showing up in the previews.
Okay.
Macy Williams is
going
to be showing up.
Yeah, I know she's
going to be from what the rumors are and what people are guessing, she's going to be the granddaughter that hasn't shown up since the first Doctor.
Yeah.
And that because she kind of has come off as that in the preview.
Okay.
And that because his granddaughter called him old man, and she calls him old man.
Okay.
So, that's a possibility. What Flash is coming back.
Yeah, Flash. Doctor Who, real quick. I have like 8 episodes to finish watching from season 8, but hopefully I can catch up in time.
Oh, yeah, you should be able to.
The new season. Flash looks awesome with all the Jay Garrick, Jesse Quick, all these speedsters
that
are going to show up. The wrestler Edge as Adam Smasher. He's apparently going to start out as a villain. Like his comic book roots.
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll be cool.
Yeah, he was one of the young all stars.
Yep.
So
so that'll be cool. Arrow. I'm looking forward to Arrow getting away from the Bat Arrow to becoming Green Arrow.
Green Arrow. Neil McDonough.
Yeah.
Playing whoever the leader of Hive.
I don't care.
Is.
He can be whoever he
whatever,
wants.
Whatever.
He's
awesome. So yeah.
Did you ever watch Tin Man?
The sci-fi
with
thing.
Him and Zooey Deschanel, where it was Oz. He was awesome. He was my favorite part of that, and he was part of the reason I watched it.
Yeah,
because the ten men were the police.
He's been in everything. So, I mean,
he was awesome on Justified.
Yeah,
the season he was on.
Yeah,
was
he was really good on that. And he's just been around forever.
Yeah.
So I mean, I remember seeing him get turned into a Borg.
Yeah.
In Star Trek First Contact, so
he was
that might have been one of his earliest.
I think that was one of his first, and then I watched Walking Tall with The Rock.
Oh, yeah,
he was
yeah.
Bad guy
that's
in
right,
that.
I forgot about that.
So, you know, it's
fun. He can play a good guy and a good bad guy.
He's
versatile. He's very versatile with that, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. There's a whole slate of Lucifer and... Minority Report, a bunch of genre shows that are coming out.
I have no interest in Minority Report because I wasn't really a fan of the movie.
The movie was awesome.
And
I don't want
to
see any more
of
it.
Sequel.
Yeah, I don't.
Lucifer, you know, I give it a chance.
Yeah,
you know, more for the fact because it spins out of the Sandman, the Neil Gaiman book, and that because Lucifer was a major player in that. And you know, I haven't watched Constantine yet. I'm kind of just waiting for a box set to come out and watch it all at
or
once.
Or hit Netflix or something.
Or Netflix or whatever. But, I mean, it's one of those things where and you know, this is my opinion, if it's something, even something canceled, still buy it to support.
Absolutely.
You know, support that and show, you know, it kind of will show Warner Brothers that, hey, people do like this stuff.
And Matt Ryan, who played Constantine, is going to show up on Arrow and be one of the reasons or the explainer as to why Sarah Lance
is
coming back from the dead.
Yeah, the White Canary.
The White Canary, So that's cool. He was awesome. Like, as far as like superhero casting goes, outside of Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, Matt Ryan
when you're
was
looking
as
at a character
perfect
it, it's
as
like
it gets.
If you didn't watch, if you were a fan of the comic books and you didn't watch these shows, and you just see a picture of the characters, Robert Downey Jr. looks like Tony Stark,
has for decades.
And Matt Ryan looks like John Constantine.
Like, I would have thought, like, if you were a fan of Hellblazer and you just happened to be flipping through channels and maybe you just
like,
woke up from a coma.
What is that?
You just woke up from a coma, you don't understand what a DVR is or anything, and you're flipping through NBC on Friday night.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, Grimm's on next, or Grimm was on first, whatever, whichever order they were in.
Was it
they
Grimm
swapped.
And then...
Well, it was like Grimm and then Constantine, then it was Constantine moved to like 8 o'clock, which didn't make any sense.
Yeah. It made sense for them because they were trying to kill it at that point, you know. I think that these CW does support their characters really well, and that I'm kind of afraid for Supergirl.
You know, so...
It looks good.
Did you watch the pilot yet?
I have not watched
the pilot yet. I got my hands on the pilot,
obviously. Did you get a screener?
Yeah. And I watched it with the kid. So I have an 8-year-old as of yesterday. She just showed up. It was really weird. I'm kidding. So I purposely waited until she and I could sit down and watch it together.
Yeah.
Because she's totally their target demographic.
Well, sure, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, for me, Kara Zor-El has been an interesting character that they've never really realized the potential of.
Right, yeah.
So sitting down with the kid bot and watching her watch a super powerful female hero, heroine, who really, in the pilot, goes from being the very Clark Kent, Smallville-esque, like, you have to hide
plain
who
Jane
you
type
are,
of character.
To hero.
Right.
Like, you know, like, Omega-level hero. When we were done, and it ended, and, you know, it went back to iTunes, I looked at her, and I said, what'd you think? And her first words were, can we watch it again?
Okay.
And I said, when? She said, now.
Okay.
So...
That's a good thing. I've seen a lot of pictures of...
With the Girl Scouts, the Super
Melissa
Girl Scouts. I don't...
Benowitz,
yeah,
I think.
Something.
I don't
have to
don't know how
last
you
name.
Pronounce her last name.
Melissa.
But yeah, she's doing, like, they were doing a good promotion of showing her with a lot of little girls.
The Super Girl Scouts, which
Super
is
Girl
really
Scouts,
cool.
Yeah. And it's a cool idea to do. I think that, you know, I'm not the biggest Superman family fan, but I do enjoy watching, you know, Christopher Reeve, of course. And, you know, you guys, the love for Christopher Reeve on the show is big time. I have a different favorite Superman, but he's a Superboy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gerard Christopher, there was the Superboy TV series that was on in the late 80s, early 90s.
Ran for two seasons?
Four seasons,
four.
Actually.
That's
right,
four.
Yeah. Gerard Christopher played him for the second, third, and fourth season. John Hames Newton played him on the first season. Yeah. He was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so awesome that after Superboy ended and they were bringing Lois and Clark, he tried out for Lois and Clark and was cast as, and then they found out that he had already played the character and they told him that
different
network. Divisions and that, and they told him, they said, well, you really can't be this character again.
Why
and
not?
Dean Cain was cast instead, which I like Dean Cain too.
He was good.
It's a different series. I mean, Lois and Clark's a totally different series from any other Superman series around.
Because it's about Clark.
Well, right.
Like, much as Smallville was about Clark, he was Clark Kent. You know,
In that
Lois
series,
and
I've read stuff and listened to some of the commentaries, it was meant to be a romantic television series, kind of moonlighting-ish and that. And, you know, understandably, it was to draw in female viewers, and it did.
So,
I mean, it was called Lois and Clark.
Right. And that's really, like, kind of to tie into where we're talking about Supergirl here. If you're a dad and you have a daughter
and
you love comics and she's not feeling it yet, sit down with her and watch this show.
Yeah.
She will, like, I find it hard to believe any little girl, like, from ages 5 to 13 won't look at this show and be like, this is for me.
Yeah. And it keeps the fan base going. I mean, there are more female fans now than I've ever seen before. I've been...
You know, I think they were always there. It's just now they have a voice. I know that there was,
because, you know, I've been collecting and doing this stuff, you know, for 30 years, pretty much. And you've seen it. I've seen it at conventions. I've seen girls at conventions. Mm-hmm. But now they're more vocal, which I appreciate.
And they reach out and they want to have specific kinds of stories told. And this is like... The first time in a long time I feel like Warner Brothers is listening to a fan base. Yeah. Like, and, of any I of mean, their properties they have outside of writers Harry Potter.
On the show, which is a smart thing. But, I mean, you know, I've watched things where, you know, they talk about there not being black writers in the writer's room and it's a black TV series.
Right.
You know, no women writers and it's a show about a female character. There are women writers on this show, and I think that's a plus for this show.
I think when they announced it and it was said it's going to be on CBS, there was a lot of, oh, God, CBS, what do they know about this?
The problem is, and it's one of those things, like I was saying, CW obviously is taking care of Arrow and The Flash.
Yeah.
CBS, Fox, NBC, they really don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care about what they're bringing in. And
until recently, ABC fell under that as well. Yeah. About not caring until they owned Marvel.
Right.
One interesting, really, really interesting thing is they're going to split. They're going to go Team Batman versus Team Superman because it's up against Gotham on Monday nights.
Yeah.
Now, as someone who gave up on Gotham a long time ago.
I haven't watched... I have the last four sitting in my DVR. Yeah. And it's not one of them shows where I have to watch it, like, every week. Like, literally, if I don't watch Arrow, Brian will spoil Arrow. So I have to watch Arrow, like, that day or the day. You can't
see
after.
The shit-eating grin on my face right now. But
exactly.
My favorite thing to do is to call Johnny on, like, Thursday night and be like,
did you watch it yet?
Did you watch how he shot the arrow through?
I like getting texts where it's like, you know, did you watch it yet? And it's like, yeah. There's shows where you have to watch them right away. Mm-hmm. The Walking Dead, Arrow, The Flash for me.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones if you have HBO, you know, or if you stream it through HBO Go or whatever. I do not, so I see it when the box sets come out.
And then I have to bite my tongue all year.
And it's one of those things where literally it's 10 episodes that get watched in 2 days, and I've turned my girlfriend onto it too. So, you know. So. But Supergirl right now for me is going to be a go-to right away.
Yeah.
I mean, Gotham, I think the first 13 episodes sat on my DVR until January, and then we started watching them. And it's not bad, but it's not good either. It's one of those ones where it's... You can watch it and enjoy it for what it is. And there's hints to everything and that. But I'm one of those color commentators where I'm sitting there going, oh, well, this is what will happen to that character. And that's what's going to happen to that character. Because, obviously, I have somebody who doesn't know all this history.
Right.
And that, and there's characters I love on that show.
Yeah.
And there's characters I could care less about.
Well, like, I loved the one thing, like, I appreciate about the show, and it's something you had said to me at one point, it's penguins eat fish.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, like, duh. Like, you know, like, it kind of set a light bulb off in my head. But at that point, I was done with, like, I mean, it was probably on, like, episode, like, 17 at that point. Yeah,
and obviously, like, the previews for this year is it is the rise of the villains.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, favorite characters, Eddie Nigma.
Yeah.
Is a fun character to watch.
He's like a CSI or something.
Yeah, he's kind of like their CSI, but you think he's like the CSI, and then they reveal that he's not the top dog.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, the whole season you thought he was the top dog, and he's not. But it looks like he's maybe going to go a little bit villain this year.
So, I mean, my big problem with that is, like, with Batman, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to have the argument, who came first, Batman or the villains? And they're, like, totally taking this egg and putting it way before a chicken.
Yeah. Because and it's one of those things where, and there is problems with that, because I think there's certain villains, like the Joker
that should the Riddler, not be the same way.
The Riddler makes sense in this one.
Is he abused by his dad and everything, where he can't tell lies, just, like, you know, the Riddler?
He's a just a nerdy guy who is that likes riddles. Okay. And he works for the police department, but he riddles them too. Like, he'll come in and just throw a riddle out. And
does he walk in Gordon flamboyantly and say, "Riddle me this"?
No, he doesn't do that. Not yet.
with a purple cane.
But he does do riddles to Gordon and Bullock, and they both look at him like, "What the hell are you talking about?" So. And he gets frustrated, and I think that's part of the, you know, charm of it, that he could become a villain because he gets frustrated with them for not knowing what he knows.
Yeah,
and it's his, you know, it's the ego thing for him. Penguin is just a fun, campy...
Yeah, I mean, Robin Lord Taylor.
He's playing it campy, and it's like, you know, I like that he plays it.
He's like kind of psycho campy, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, you can't do Burgess Meredith campy. Yeah. You can do...
I've liked him ever since, and it was a horrible movie, but I still enjoy it, called Accepted, with Justin Long.
I've never seen
that. And Jonah Hill, where...
He's in it.
Yeah. Okay. And Robin Lord Taylor... Where Justin Long doesn't get into any of the colleges he applied for.
Oh, okay.
So he makes up his own school.
I know what you're talking
Lewis
about.
Lewis Black is in it. So, like, I don't know. I just,
and Robin Lord Taylor's going to be
he's
in it.
He's,
too.
Like, one of the... Yeah, so he's going to be here. So yeah. I was thinking about trying to find, like, a piece of, like, accepted artwork.
Nice.
To be like, here, sign this. I don't care about your shitty Gotham show. But, yeah,
so... Yeah, and he showed up on The Walking Dead, too, so...
Oh, yeah, he was, wasn't he?
He was on a couple... He was actually one of the guys who was at Terminus.
Yeah.
And that he wasn't one of the cannibals. He was actually a captured person at Terminus.
So, you know, I'm not like super excited for new stuff this season.
There's not a lot of I mean, for as much as, you know, this is Generation Geek.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of Generation Geek shows coming.
I just don't think there's a lot of like good shows coming in general. Like, you know, in like looking at like things like Justified that ended last year.
Yeah.
It's like there's nothing that's like maybe The Bastard Executioner.
I was gonna say Kurt Sutter's new show.
Like, but I don't know enough about it yet, and I've intentionally like avoided like news and previews about it.
Show up on FX and on cable.
Well, I watch it on the apps. So,
right, yeah. You're watching through Hulu.
What's cable?
And
tell me what cable
not
is.
Not cable, but DirecTV.
What's DirecTV?
Sorry, you know. Maybe they'll be one of our sponsors now that I mentioned them. That would be pretty awesome.
For all seven of you listening, this episode is brought to you by
DirecTV. The previews look cool.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, too, where they're doing it where you don't know what's going on.
So, for my criteria for this show, is it medieval times?
Yes, it looks like medieval times.
Are there sword fights?
I haven't seen any sword fights.
Is it medieval times that we don't have to worry about magic?
No magic, that it looks
then
like.
Then I'm in, you know?
Yeah,
so.
It literally, you know, because it is an executioner, you see a scene in the preview that it looks like an execution is happening.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's kind of like the previews for Outlander, the show that's on Starz. It does have a little bit of magic to it, obviously, because there's time travel involved.
Okay.
But I've watched it, and it actually is a high-quality, like, show.
Yeah, whenever Outlander hits, like, Amazon Netflix, I'll totally watch
it's
that.
It's definitely one that I would recommend, and I haven't finished the first season yet, but I watched...
So do you watch Vikings?
I have not watched Vikings.
So I've tried to watch Vikings, and, like, I don't think of this as an indictment on the show or anything, but, like... I've fallen asleep twice watching the first episode.
Wow, okay.
But, in all fairness, the first time I started watching it was like 3 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. So, you're kind of guilty for that one.
And so that's on me. The second time, it was like a Sunday at like 1.
Wow.
And like, within like minutes of seeing Gabriel Byrne show up, I was like...
Oh, wow. So he's in the first season probably?
I think he's in most of the first season from what I understand, but...
Well, you know, obviously a show like that, you got to get a strong name.
Yeah.
In the,
well, I didn't even know he was in it until he showed up. And I was like, is that Gabriel? And pull it up on IMDb.
That's,
yeah,
that's a
Gabriel
History Byrne. Channel show. And
it is.
Like, I think that, you know, History Channel's smart for going with doing, you know, historic dramas as well as doing their documentaries.
Like, did you watch
But they're doing Hatfield and McCoy miniseries they did.
Which was good. And Sons of Liberty was awesome. Did you watch that one?
Yeah.
That was so cool.
And then there's the Texas...
Oh, the Alamo one.
Yeah.
Remember
the
Alamo.
Well, it's the whole... It's everything to do with Texas.
So...
And that's one where I think that History Channel's found somebody to use in their historical stuff. Bill Paxton's in yeah. Hatfields and McCoys,
and they had the kid who played Prince Caspian in the Narnia movies, Sons of Liberty, and then the guy that played Tom on The Blacklist, her husband.
Oh, okay.
He was in Sons of Liberty. Yeah, yeah. He was really good.
What else was he in? Oh, I know what he was in. Something totally off fanboy genre. He was on 90210, the second, the new series, The Next Generation.
Oh, okay.
And that I only knew because she had pointed that out to me. She goes, I know him from something. And I looked it up and I'm like, oh, he was on your 90210 show.
He was on 90210 now.
He was the teacher who probably had sex with a student.
Oh.
Because that's what happens.
Okay.
Also had, what's his name from Once Upon a Time?
Which character?
Neil.
Oh, yeah. Neil
from Once Upon a Time. Who's the guy from True Blood. Yeah. I don't remember the actor's name, but...
what's his name? Anyway, he was on an awesome show with Donald Loge on FX that only got one season called Terriers.
Really?
And it's on, I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
You should totally check that one out. Yeah. Like, Donald Loge is a down on his luck PI.
Okay.
And, like, he's his best friend, so.
Yeah, but it was that, and it was fun because there's stuff that people think they know about history.
Yeah.
That when you watch it, you find out the real thing. Like, he played Paul Revere.
Yeah.
And Paul Revere did not do The British Is Coming. He got arrested.
Yeah.
And that's in there. And I was like, you know, compliments to the writers.
Well, did you ever watch Sleepy Hollow?
I've never watched Sleepy Hollow.
So the guy that plays Ichabod Crane, yeah. Tom Manson or Mason or whatever his name is, there's an episode, it was either at the end of the first season or beginning of the second season, where he and Abby are in this... museum.
Okay.
And the guy who's taking these kids on a tour starts talking about Paul Revere and says, the redcoats are coming. And he stops and like does an about face and goes back and he goes, he said the regulars are coming. If he would have said the redcoats, no one would have had any idea because we all had redcoats.
Right.
it was just so funny because it's like, yeah, that's what it was totally in character for this character.
Well, sure,
so
yeah.
I
appreciate stuff like that, you know. But yeah, the Vikings is one that I've wanted to check out and just haven't.
I mean, it's on my list on Amazon. But
yeah, The Bastard Executioner, though.
Yeah.
I'll give it a watch because it's Kurt Sutter, and, you know, they'll probably have Sons of the Sons of Anarchy on there at some point or another.
We'll see.
You know, like I said, the preview. We'll see Ron Perlman
show up. You know,
if Ron Perlman shows up, it's cool. He can show up in anything.
But his hands, he won't be able to like really grasp the executioner's axe. Nice. And so they'll be like, if you can't drop the axe, you can't be.
Or he'll just come in as the lead. You know, the lead rider of a group of guys on horses,
horsebacks.
Yes, exactly.
With like armored cuts.
Yeah, exactly. Nice.
So embossed on.
They
the
could still be the Sons of
Anarchy. They could. They absolutely could. You know? But. It could be John Teller's like forefather.
Nice.
But all right, so, you know, I think that's probably a pretty good place to, you know, just wrap up.
Sure.
Like, what's one non geek genre show you're looking forward to coming back?
Coming back non geek? I can't think of anything.
Are there any comedies or anything that you're into?
No. Big Bang Theory's lost me.
Did you ever really like that show?
The first few seasons I liked. The first few seasons were funny, but now it's just gotten to the point that they're just angry characters at this point, it feels like to me. You know, bringing in romantic interest more than one kind of threw off the track, I guess, because it always seems like, you know, if you've known enough geeky guys, you know that they don't always get the hot girls.
No.
And it's like, it seems like this show, all the geeky guys have gotten hot girls.
They would all be with girls like Blossom.
And but that's the thing.
But that doesn't matter.
Her,
you know.
It's kind of like she's not totally what you would think of. She is pretty. And it's like, yeah, you know.
I just don't like it. You know, like... I don't find it funny. I hate the laugh track.
The laugh track kills it.
It's one of those shows that...
The thing is they've all gotten... When the show started, they were all young-looking, and you know, they all looked like...
Yeah, Johnny Galecki's probably gained, like, 20 pounds from the beginning.
Yeah, they look rich now. They look rich.
Yeah.
And I've complained about this with other shows, too, where it's like, once the show becomes successful, people gain weight and that, and it's like you can say, and I can say this, The Walking Dead, thank you, Andrew Lincoln, for not putting on 10 or 15 pounds.
For keeping that beard everywhere you go.
Keeping the beard for a year.
Norman Reedus for that hair.
Yeah, Norman Reedus has grown his hair out because he looked really clean in the first season, and now he looks like he's actually living in a zombie apocalypse. Like, they might have pulled him out of a parallel universe and just said, you're doing this TV show. All right, but I got to go back and kill zombies at
the
end of the season.
What's a TV show?
Yeah, exactly. We don't have TV in my world.
But, yeah.
I'm trying to think. I don't know that there's anything that...
What about Once Upon a Time? Are you going to give that a chance? Because you're all caught up, right?
I'm all caught up.
I mean, I know that's kind of... It's a geek genre show itself.
Kind of disappointing. In a way. I don't think the last season was well written.
Well, it's because it was split into an A and B.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the
B was, like, terrible to me. The A was okay, but the B was just terrible.
I wish they would have kind of done it the other way around.
Like, done them at the beginning and then frozen.
The evil Maleficent and Cruella de Vil, right. and Ursula.
It kind of would have made more sense because then they could have done the frozen thing leading into her becoming...
And then lead into Frozen. But the whole Frozen thing, they were trying to capitalize on the movie.
Well, sure.
I understand it. And, you know, the girl that they got, the women that they got to play Anna and Elsa
were
great. And even the dude that was playing Kristoff. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but there wasn't enough of him.
There wasn't enough of him, and there really wasn't enough of Anna. It was a lot more Elsa. But, I mean, obviously, Anna, the character, the actress, was a new actress.
Yeah.
The woman that played Elsa had been on Fringe.
Okay.
I think she was on the last season of Fringe, where she played Josh Jackson and Anna Torv's daughter. In that. So, she had been around.
Charlie Conway had a daughter on that show?
Yeah. Wow. Who was an adult, and he was the same age almost.
I gave up on that after six episodes, and I just... It was too much like the X-Files,
and that's the thing.
Can love or hate me for saying this. I did not like the X-Files.
Well, and that's something that I've discussed with somebody I work with too. The first season was too much like the X-Files,
but I feel like when you came back
in the second season, they realized that and went a whole different direction.
But I feel like I can't get to the second season without the foundation of the first.
You can watch the last episode of the first season.
Yeah,
I mean
that's kind of what I think.
The thing that kind of was disappointing to me, in a way, was Mark Valley was in the first few episodes. He played the Human Target.
Yeah, which I think he left to do the Human Target.
I think that's what happened, but his character was killed off anyways, early on in the season. But when they went and did the parallel universes, Mark Valley's character never showed up. I was kind of hoping that he would come back.
Poor writing.
Especially since he's married to Anna Torv.
Ah.
Yeah, you would have thought, hey, come back for an episode. And that, but
show
they
up every now
that.
And then.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna visit your wife. Right, you're not in anything right now.
Thank you, Chi McBride, for killing another show. Not really, Chi McBride. I'm a no hate toward Chi McBride. He's on Hawaii 5-0 now, and he's fine on there. That's it.
Yeah,
Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, you were telling me about that because you like totally geeked out when it got on Netflix.
I was like, Hawaii 5-0 is a show that's I don't know that you would call it a guilty pleasure because it is a well-done show.
Yeah.
And I think they're going into their sixth season this year.
This is the last one, though, right?
They haven't said anything yet. Yeah, they haven't said... Like, I think they're one of the ones that's always on the bubble and that. So,
Fair enough.
But it's a well-done show. I know it's probably an expensive show because they shoot in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you've got Grace Park.
It's
Daniel
got Scott
Kahn.
What else
Scott
can you ask?
I can't remember who plays McGarrett. He was on that vampire show Moonlight.
Yeah, he was on The Shield.
This show literally has people from every genre show that's been around. I mean, Chief
But it's
Bride,
like a procedural, right?
Yeah, well, it's a procedural most of the time, but they do have a flowing storyline of like a villain of the season or a villain of the couple seasons.
The Buffy-esque big bad, if you will.
Well, yeah, they kind of do the big bad, which a lot of shows do that anyways. But, like, theirs always has something to do with the family. Because at this point, and it is Hawaii, so Ohana is a thing for these people. They've all come together from, you know, it's all the misfits.
Yeah.
And that, the outcasts and the misfits. And they formed a group and become a family. So the show's more about taking care of your family than it is a police procedural now.
Cool.
And I mean, it's full of action and that. Yeah. And I love, Hawaii is beautiful. I can't blame Daniel Day Kim for staying there and saying, hey, I'll do whatever show comes over.
Yeah. All right. So there's actually one last thing I want to talk about is Marvel. There was some really big news about Marvel.
Oh, the cinema
with
thing?
The entertainment line separating and going under Disney Pictures finally, which I think is about 2 years later than everybody expected to. And then Ike, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, the CEO of Marvel.
Oh, Kevin Feige.
No. Kevin Feige is going with entertainment to Disney. Yeah. And then Ike, starts with a P, who is the CEO of Marvel.
Helen Hummer or something like that.
It's really weird. Like,
yeah.
Ike Peanut Butter. who...
If you can't pronounce the name with the P, you just go with peanut butter.
Who has been blamed for a lot of, you know...
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy
issues.
going on.
The other thing they did, and this happened a few months ago, but it's coming to light, they broke up the creative, core?
Yeah, the consultants.
Creative committee is what they called it.
Brian Bendis.
Brian Bendis, Joe Quesada.
I can't remember. There was one other
There were four of them. So
one of them had left a while ago, so it was only the three that were left, but
and they're the ones who are kind of like the blame is falling on them about Edgar Wright abandoning Ant-Man, which I've said it before, I'm so happy that happened because without Peyton Reed we wouldn't still months later be talking about what an awesome movie Ant-Man
was. And I mean, you know, Edgar Wright was given his credit in the movie.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was. He helped write the story.
He helped write the story. And it's like, you know, I'm not mad at him for leaving. It wasn't something where it's like...
I respect him for
leaving. Big deal.
I really do. Yeah, I respect him for saying, hey, look, this isn't my vision.
Yeah.
This isn't the art I want to make.
Right.
You know, Scott Pilgrim versus the World was very much the comic book movie he wanted to make. Now, why I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie. No, I understand why it was not.
He's more of an independent...
Yeah.
Director, like, you know, I don't faction these people off most of the time, but there are people that are meant to just direct independent
like Kevin
movies.
Smith.
Yeah, you know, Kevin Smith should not be doing big budget movies.
Like that cop out movie with Tracy Morgan and Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis will never speak to Kevin Smith again.
Was not good. Well, you know,
but it's one of those things where.
So how do you feel about this? Like, are you okay with the House of Mouse now having control of Disney, Pixar, Lucas, Marvel?
They paid the money. I mean, it comes down to that. They paid the money. I understand that, you know, there's reasons behind it. Age of Ultron, to them, was not as much of a success as they wanted it
to be. Yeah, I think the actual phrase was failure.
In my opinion, and, you know, I know you've watched it a couple more times than I have. In my opinion, it was not as good as the first one. And Ant-Man even kind of blew it out of the water.
Story-wise, yes.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it was as good as The Winter Soldier, which was the big problem.
Right.
Because The Winter Soldier was the one that was fresh in everyone's mind.
Yeah.
You know, I read that article, I think it was in Forbes that I actually read it, which I don't know what I was doing on Forbes.com, but...
What, the failure in that?
Yeah.
I just read it today, but it was linked from something else.
So, it was interesting because... The reason that they looked at it as a failure is because people didn't double dip and go back for seconds.
Right, yeah.
Where, like, I know I'm one of the people who saw it twice in the theater because
I did not.
You and I went and saw it.
Yeah.
And then that Saturday, I took the kid bot.
No, you went by yourself.
The Lifetron. Did I go by myself?
Yeah. The problem that happened.
I did go by myself.
Remember,
that's
I told
right,
you there
yeah.
was a problem. Our local cinema had a camera problem, and the projector was projecting it onto the ceiling pretty much.
Yeah.
And that, but that didn't affect my opinion. My opinion was affected by I am an Avengers fan of old, and Ultron was not Ultron.
No, he was too sarcastic.
He was not psychotic at all.
No.
And Ultron in the comic book is a psychotic robot.
Well, do you think that's because Ultron in the movie, and I know I keep trying to end this, but we can talk about this shit forever.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you think it's because Ultron in the movie wasn't based on the flawed psyche of Hank Pym?
In a way, yeah, but I
but
think
we don't
that they
have that Hank Pym in the Marvel Cinematic Universe anyway.
Of Tony Stark,
right?
And they didn't even attempt
they just
that.
Went with the goofy clown side.
Yeah,
of him,
if he wasn't, it's like, you know, they were talking about how his personality was based on Tony Stark's, but Tony Stark is not even that sarcastic.
No,
and you know, there's a dark side to Tony Stark. Yeah. We've seen it.
And we're going to see it.
I mean, we've seen it in Iron Man 2 when he was, you know, pretty much drunk off of the, you know, getting sick.
Yeah.
And fought Rhodey.
Yeah.
And I mean, they should have used bits and pieces of that. I mean, you didn't have to have Hank Pym, but you could have used Hank Pym still. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hank Pym worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. And that would have been a cool reveal that, you know, he had a little bit of a tie to the Ultron program if they would have done it as more of what right. I would have done it as.
Right.
You know, yeah, I'm a, you know, armchair writer for these movies, but I'm like, yeah, there's stuff that they should have consultants
yeah.
that are outside. You know, comic book consultants are a cool idea, but there's fanboys all over that have good ideas, and I'm surprised that they don't have a group of consultants like that, that they just go, hey, here's a little bit of a script. Tell us what your opinion is yeah, of it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Sign me up to yeah, be exactly. a part of that focus
yeah, group. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Disney should have a focus group for Marvel
yeah.
so. Movies, especially now if they're going to be the ones releasing yeah, them.
I agree. So, all right, I think that's a great note yeah. to end on. Yeah. So, thank you for coming no in and filling in for Brian Williams this week. Where can people find you online to look at your stuff?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram.
You take some cool Instagram pictures.
Yeah, stuff, I like so. To throw some Instagram stuff out there that people don't usually throw out there.
So,
and at Twitter, I'm on, but not on yeah. on a normal basis. You'd find me better on Facebook and Instagram.
Cool. All right, you can find me at Brian Tudor on Twitter, and as always, the Infamous Podcast is infamouspodcast.com. At Infamous Podcast on all the social networks. And if there's anything you liked or didn't like about this episode, you can go ahead and email us at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. And as always, please, guys, go to the iTunes
Five-star reviews.
They really help us with the rankings. They get us up. We were inching up on the hobbies section, which is what we're listed under. Any help you can give would be awesome. I got some stickers, and you can go check them out on our Facebook page, and I'm going to be giving some of them away here in the next week. So be on the lookout for that. Johnny, anything? Any last words?
Nope. I think that's pretty much it. Thanks right. for letting me come in.
Yeah, thank you. All right, guys. Have a great week, and we will be in your ear holes next Friday. This has been the Infamous Podcast, Episode 7.
May the Force Friday be with you.
May the Force Friday be with you. All right, guys. Later.